now it's time for Rod and Reel Radio with your hosts, Hop Along John Cassidy, fresh and saltwater expert angler Stan Vanderberg, and all-around outdoors fishing and hunting enthusiast Wendy Toshihara. If you love the outdoors, enjoy salt or freshwater fishing, this is the show for you. We'll cover most all of the fishing tournaments and events with special reports while providing you with the information you need as to how and where to experience the best fishing opportunities in Southern California, Baja, Alaska, or just about anywhere the fish are biting. We have some fantastic guests and reports lined up for you this evening, so sit back, relax, and get ready for the fastest 2 hours in radio. It's all right here, right now, on Rod and Reel Radio, the best stop on your radio dial for all the information you need for fishing opportunities all over the United States. Now here's your host, Hop Along, John Cassidy.
Well, thank you, Mark Larson, and Southern California, welcome again to another Sunday edition of Rod and Reel Radio. I am indeed your underfished host, Hop Along John Cassidy. It is a pleasure to welcome you to tonight's show. Well, a lot of things happening right now, especially in the fishing world. When it comes to Rod and Reel Radio, I think our Stan Vandenberg, he didn't want Wendy telling all the stories about the fishing trips she's been out on, so right now, Stan is out with Bobby Taft on the Top Gun 80, and they're heading to the fishing grounds. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, where they're going and what they might expect to be catching. And then Wendy Toshihara, she is, I think, on another discipline. I think she's out shooting birds right now with Merritt. So it's just myself here and my in-studio guest, Rob Tressler. Rob, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, John. It's good to be here. How are you?
It's good.
Happy birthday.
Oh, hey, thank you very much, Rob. You know, hey, we're going to talk a little about tuna tonight, and that's why I'm really glad I can have you aboard, because with this weather that we had come through here lately, there was a little pause in the sports fishing fleet going on out, which meant that trips that you were scheduled to go on out with, you didn't, but you still managed to get some fishing in this weekend.
Yeah, we did. We the last weekend we had a 3-day charter, a bluefin or bus charter that was a lot of fun. And then the calico bass bite on the inshore setups along the Point Loma Kelp have been really, really good. I went today for that and on the premiere with Captain Brandon. And we actually had a good trip, a good morning trip. Even though the currents weren't good, there were lots of bass, a lot of sign. I think we captured 80 legal calico bass for the folks that were on the boat this morning, and probably released another 80 that were undersized. It was a really good time, as well as some about a 25-pound halibut and a 10-pound sheephead and some bonita. So it's summertime, and the water temps are still warm, and the fish are biting, folks.
Well, you know, Rob, I noticed that you'll have the opportunity. You'll go out fishing. Maybe you leave on a Thursday night and have the boat come in Monday morning, and you won't skip a beat. You and Lori will hop aboard the half-day boat, usually the Premier or something like that, and it isn't like you're having enough fishing. You pulled on big tuna or yellowtail or dorado, whatever. You're still out there, you know, wanting to catch more fish. Tell us about this passion you have.
Well, it's funny. Lori and I are both the same way, and it started years ago for both of us. But, I mean, when the COVID pandemic hit and we couldn't get on any of the boats, we were driving over the Imperial Valley. The only place you could legally fish in California we knew of was over in the Imperial Valley in the canals and stuff, when we were fishing for carp, catfish, and anything that would pull on our string. So we're like that. We'll fish for anything. And typically what will happen is we'll get off the day and a half or the 2.5-day boats in the morning. We'll go home and rinse the crusts of the old fish from the previous trip off of us and jump on the afternoon half-day boats. And that's because right now, especially along the Point Loma Kelp, when the water's clean, the calico bite has really, really been good for high-quality fish. Last weekend, we got off Sunday morning. We left Thursday afternoon, and we got in from a 3-day. We got in Monday morning. Hopped on the afternoon Monday trip on the Premier, and we loaded the boat with calico bass up to 5 pounds. And it's just was a wonderful, wonderful time.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people have kind of been discounting this inshore bite that we have because of the fact that obviously, when you can get out to the islands, it's been good. Paddy hopping has been really good if you get on the right paddy. But it seems like our offshore fishing on the half day or the three quarter day boats and everything like that has been kind of neglected. And as you've mentioned, it's been off the hook. Hook, what are some of the techniques you've been using to catch fish? Have you been fly lining, or I know you like to use artificials, or you've been doing a combination of both?
Doing a combination of both. Some days they won't eat the plastic, or they won't eat the surface iron. And then there's nothing like a collar hooked anchovy, either fly lined. If the sea lions aren't bad, fly lining I think is best. But if the sea lions are bad, putting like an 1/8 ounce or 1/16 ounce sliding sinker above the hook to get it down more quickly and away from the sea lions also works. We had folks today on the premiere fishing both a dropper loop, fly line, and slider anchovies, and they were all getting bit on nice calico bass, you know, from 14 inches up to 3 or 4 pounds. And they were also, the bass were also eating the plastics. We couldn't fish the, what was interesting about it was we had very little current, and I was thinking, uh-oh, this is not good. And I was wrong. We got out there, and there was kelp and seaweed everywhere, so you couldn't throw the surface iron. It was just wasn't going to work. You know, we were up by the jetty kelp. But if you could sink down through that stuff with a plastic and just dead sticking it down, you were drilled by everything from 2 to 5 pound bass. We just had a blast. I think the boat, we caught a total of, I think, 80 keeper bass, legals, and probably another 80 that weren't quite big enough to keep. That morning was constant, steady action and no current, which is normally, typically you think down and in current, which absolutely is ideal for the bass. But we were still catching them even though we had no current. So the bite inshore for the half day boats, folks, if you want to get out and have some fun, find a half day boat and get out on the kelps, either up at La Jolla or Point Loma. And it's been a good time.
A lot of fish now. You know, it's funny. A lot of times you'll find the calico bass, especially. You'll find them in the mantle up by the kelp. You find them down the bottom. Find them suspended. It seems like this year, the really good calico bite has been on suspended fish. So, you know, don't use too heavy a rig to get down to the bottom thinking or fish the surface thinking they're up in the mantle, because those fish are suspended this year. The good ones are.
Absolutely. We, myself and a young pinhead on the boat named Matt, we were dead sticking plastics, and we would just cast them out and clutch in our reels and wait. And we were in 80 feet of water, and about anywhere from 30 to 50 feet down, we'd nearly get the rod knocked out of our hand. No. So we really had fun with that. But you're absolutely right. We have a lot. And these were good grade fish. Yeah.
Hey, we're going to get back to that, but right now I want to bring on our first guest. I hadn't even had time to tease that we're going to have him on because of the fact he's been out fishing all day. He is ready to go. It is Captain Kirk from Shirt Strike Lodge up in Craig, Alaska. Captain Craig, Captain Kirk, are you with us, sir?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Captain Kirk, you're speaking with myself and Rob Tressler here. We were going to talk a little bit about tuna tonight, but we also want to talk about Shirt Strike Lodge and the season that you've had up there. Tell us, and just in general, how did it go for you this year, Captain Kirk?
It went pretty well. The king salmon fishing was pretty slow throughout the season, but when the silver showed up, they came on like gangbusters, and they're still biting out there. We're out fishing some today, so they're still out there to be had.
Well, I think you just got off the water. What were you doing? I know your season's kind of wound up, and you said that you did a lot of fishing, but here you are. You're going out fishing after the season's over. What have you been doing out there today?
Well, I caught tons of fish for everybody else but myself. So when I looked up in my freezer, I realized I didn't have any halibut or coho up there. So we went out and loaded up on some nice halibut, you know, probably 40 to 50 pound grade, and some ling cod and some coho came home.
You know, Captain Kirk, we've known each other here for a few years, and I recall a few years ago we were talking on the show one night that we had heard that there were albacore that were caught off of Alaska. And during the midweek, you gave me a call. You'd been listening to the show saying, hey, I'm the guy that caught albacore up there. And now all of a sudden, you've had a really another good run of fish up there. Can you tell us about what you did last week?
Yeah, the last time we saw them up here was about 7 years ago. And I go out and look every year around the end of the season. Haven't seen any since. And then we had this big warm blob come in around, into July, early August. And we're just watching the water temp, and it just kept coming up, up, up. And next thing you know, a troller, a friend of mine, went out there, and he went out looking for him because he caught some out there last time. And next thing you know, he's texting a friend of mine who's texting me. And next thing you know, I'm throwing gear on the boat and heading out.
When you say out, what are you talking about out? You know, here when we go out, we're looking at about you know, anywhere from 20 to 100 miles. I know up there in Alaska, you've got great fishing there among all the islands, so you don't have to go as far as we have to go. But when the albacore come by, you say you got to go out. How long of a trip are you talking about?
Well, we're kind of heading out to the continental shelf there where it kind of drops off, and it's about a 2.5 hour run to get out to the fish, sometimes only 2 hours. But the first day we were only about 2 hours out, and we hit them pretty good, hit 21 that day. And then we just have to wait for the weather. Weather has been a big factor for us up here.
You know, Captain Kirk, how are you finding this fish? Are you metering them, or are you seeing them breezing, or are you just getting where you believe the break is, where you're seeing the break, and then are you starting to troll, or are you fly lining them with whatever bait you have up there?
Yeah, we look at the temperature breaks and stuff out there, see what the chlorophyll's doing and stuff, and then kind of try to figure out where they're going to be. And we start off trolling. We were trolling, you know, just regular stuff on the surface. And then we decided to try downriggers, like you'd use for salmon. Okay. So we put some feathers down on downriggers, 80 feet, 40 feet, and we start dragging those at 6 knots. Next thing you know, that was a hot ticket. We were getting more jig stops.
And then you've just invented a new way to catch them.
We didn't have any anchovies up here or sardines. We just got herring. So we were chunking up herring and chumming them with that, and then we're catching them on flatfalls. And I think we got 15... the second trip on flat falls, they were eating them pretty good. I think we had like an hour stop, and we left them biting because we were running low on ice. We had to get the fish in because our ice was taking a beating out there.
Well, you know, we're talking about you going fishing for albacore, Captain Kirk, and also at the same time, it seems like it's kind of a misnomer when we're also talking about you being a professional guide and running Sure Strike Lodge out of Craig, Alaska there, that you think about salmon, halibut, you know, rockfish and things like that. But you kind of cut your teeth down here in the Southern California area, and you're very familiar with fishing out of the our landings out here, are you not?
Absolutely. Yeah, I grew up in Redondo Beach, so didn't come up here till the 80s, late 80s, when I came up to Alaska, fell in love with it and just stayed and gave up the fishing I loved in Southern Cal.
Well, I've got to say, what drew you up there to Alaska? Because that's really, was it somewhere that you had gone in your youth and you really liked it up there? Or what's the story about going from Huntington Beach to Alaska? And did you start off at Craig?
Yeah, I came up to a place called Waterfall. It was a weird deal because I was kind of in between boat jobs. I was kind of on a didn't know what I wanted to do for the summer in 1987. So I was kind of in between boat jobs and had some options. And I was on a hunting trip and met a guy who worked at Waterfall Resort who told me about it. And he gave me a Waterfall business card, and I didn't think anything of it. And was talking to a friend of mine, Mark Sappington, who has a lodge up in Yakutat now. And we were talking about it. Next thing you know, we're heading to Alaska for the summer. It was kind of a joke at the time. It's like, let's go do something different. And I fell in love with it instantly. Wanted to stay.
Well, you know, obviously we have a lot of listeners that have been up to Waterfall Lodge and First Class Operation. A lot of the guys from Southern California go up there to guide, as you well know. In fact, you probably used some of the guides from Waterfall after they close up, and you're still open over there. But could you tell us a little bit about the evolution of Sure Strike Lodge from the time you started guiding at Waterfall and kind of like the where you are now?
Oh, yeah, I worked 7 years for Waterfall, and one day I was getting end of the season and planned on going back as usual, and I was heading to Hawaii to visit my brother over there, and I found a boat, an old beat-up boat for sale down in Washington, where I was living at the time in the winter, and bought this boat, went to Hawaii for a month, came back, and made a couple phone calls to a couple clients and stuff and see if they wanted to do a second trip up. And they said, okay. So I thought I'd just, you know, check it out. Went and did a sports show, picked up a couple clients, and the rest was history. Just kind of built up everything from there.
Hey, we are speaking with Captain Kirk from Sure Strike Lodge out of Craig, Alaska. Captain Kirk, I've got a break for a commercial message right now. Can I kind of get you to stay on here a little bit longer with us and we can still talk?
Absolutely.
Hey, you're listening to Rod and Reel Radio on AM 540 or rodandreelradio.com. Stay tuned. Rob Tressler, myself, and the beautiful Wendy Toshihara is on the line, but we'll be back after these commercial messages.
Hi, Roland Martin here. I'd like to tell you a little about Gary Yamamoto and the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company. It all started with an idea, then a dream, and in 1983, the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company was formed. If you know Gary Yamamoto like I do, and I've known him since 1983, you know he has a passionate love for the sport of fishing. That love is only matched by his obsession to design and produce the highest quality soft plastic fishing lures on the market today. Every bait Gary makes is inspected by hand. Today, more than 2.5 million packages of bait are shipped worldwide. On behalf of Gary and his staff, he wants to thank his customers for thinking so highly of his products and wishing you the great success at the sport of fishing. Whether you fish for fun or fish the tournament circuits like I do, you'll honor Gary for making Gary Yamamoto Custom Baits a key part of your fishing experience. Take it from me, Roland Martin. When I'm in need of a go-to bait, my first choice is a Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait.
Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one fishing, hunting, and shooting sports retailer, now has 28 locations. Turner's is your one-stop shop for fishing tackle, hunting gear, and everything for shooting sports. Turner's offers a full selection and unmatched prices on the gear you need. Whether you're planning a fishing trip with the family or chasing giant tuna, Turner's highly skilled staff will make sure you have the gear for your next adventure. Visit Turners.com to find a Turner store near you and be sure to join the Turner's Discount Club to get weekly ads and specials right to your inbox. Turner's Outdoorsman, your one-stop shop for all your fishing needs.
The perfect day is my family and I on the boat out on the waterway. I love it. Nothing but sun, snacks, fishing, and of course, life jackets for everyone. Save the ones you love. Life jackets save lives. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Since being established in 2015, CCA has achieved great success for the entire sport fishing industry in the fight for our right to fish here in California. 2021 brought us plenty of success, but every year brings new battles, and we need your help. One of the best ways to help support CCA Cal is to join us and become a member, because strength is certainly in our numbers. Become a member today by logging on to joincca.org. Membership starts at $35 per year, and that is one of the best ways to help us while you go fishing.
Hi, this is Lori Heath. You may know me from some of the fishing boats out of San Diego. I want to talk to you about something that's really close to my heart. Did you know that when you donate blood, you're not only helping others, you're also helping yourself? Donating blood lowers the risk of heart attacks in men by more than 70%, lowers the risk of developing cancer, and helps you maintain a healthy liver. So donate blood to help someone else and to help yourself. If you can't donate, you can still make a difference with the financial gift. It's the best way to give back. Hook, line, and sinker. And for more information and to make a financial donation or an appointment, visit sandiegobloodbank.org. That's the sandiegobloodbank.org. And just to let you know, I'm also a blood donor.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket. And make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hey, we want to welcome you back to Rod Reel Radio. My in-studio guest tonight is angler Rob Tressler. We're going to be talking a little bit about tuna fishing. And at this time, before I bring on my current guest, Captain Kirk from Sure Strike Lodge out of Craig, Alaska, I'd like to introduce my other co-host for Ron Reel Radio. I thought she was out in the field, but apparently she is calling us in from parts unknown. She's the national sales manager for Iserline, represents many other fine products in the fishing industry. She is also an expert fisherman and hunter. It's our own Wendy Toshihara. Wendy, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm coming home from my friend Simon and Kelly Romero's barbecue. We went dove hunting together in Yuma, so we had some dove poppers and dove skewers and dove this and that.
Hey, just to ask you a little bit about the weather. When we had Kay come through here, it kind of swung up from the east and came into San Diego. Were you far enough to the east that it sideswiped you, or did you get some of Kay where you were?
It's still raining right now, and I'm on the 91 heading southbound. Oh my gosh,
okay. You know, Kay did a job on the eastern side of the hills. Also, San Felipe kind of got washed out. Certain areas of I-5 got washed out. So if you were planning to go down to that area, check with reservations, Bay of L.A., everything like that. You can still get there by Highway 1, but I'm not sure if Highway 5 is passable. But knowing the Mexicans over there, they will have that highway up and going in no time at all. So, Wendy, we're going to get back to our other guest, Captain Kirk, and stay on because I know you want to be on when we start talking about fishing tuna, okay?
All righty.
All right. And I want to bring back Captain Kirk from Sure Strike Lodge. Captain Kirk, thanks a lot for staying on with us, sir.
No problem. Can you hear me?
Well, maybe he did, Rob.
Not sure, boss. Oh, there he is.
I'm Captain still here.
Kirk. Yeah, all right. Thanks a lot, Captain Kirk. Hey, you know, we were talking about the evolution of Sure Strike Lodge, Craig, Alaska. I've got to tell you, I've been really fortunate enough to come up and visit you for the last few years. And I talk to people about going to Craig, Alaska, and they kind of scratch their head and they go, Craig, Alaska, where the heck is that? Because, you know, you think about a lot of other places to go, but I've got to tell you, Craig, Alaska is really beautiful. It's remote, but it's the place to go fishing, and I don't think I'm going to get an argument with you on that.
No, it's gorgeous up here. It's just beautiful everywhere. I mean, we were seeing see whales every day. I mean, you see whales off my dock right here in front of the lodge. You got eagles out your front porch, and just the wildlife is never ending. Scenery is spectacular.
You know, Captain Kirk, we're talking about fishing Alaska. Can you kind of give us an idea of when the prime times are to fish there, or when you have the lodge open, the season for you? And then give us a little bit of an idea of the type of packages that you offer fishermen to come on up and stay with you.
Yeah, the best time to come up is when they're biting.
And when the weather's good, right?
Yeah, well, we run from early June through the end of August, and sometimes we'll stretch it out a little bit. We could have stretched our season another 2 weeks this year, but we wanted to close up a little bit early, enjoy the fall.
And so the season begins what, late May, early June? Because I know you know, June up in Alaska is not like June in Southern California.
It's not?
Yeah, the weather wasn't too bad. It's the weather's been pretty decent all year. It was not a flat ocean, kind of lumpy, but the weather overall wasn't too bad. I think we had a couple days where we had to deal with some high winds. Other than that, it was pretty much fishable every day all through the season.
You know, Captain Kirk, what I've always appreciated coming to fish with you, because I'm usually at the end of the season, the last group that you have in there, and the weather can be dicey sometimes. You can have great weather. Other times, man, we've had weather like, like wind and rain and just, you know, for us, extreme weather. But you're always able to get us on fish. And that's the thing that I like about with your experience up there. If you can't go offshore and fish all the areas that you know to fish there, there's always somewhere to fish there, and there's always fish to be caught.
Yeah, there's always a lot of places to duck out of the weather up here. That's the nice thing about it. Doesn't matter which way the wind is. Southwest is pretty challenging, but we don't get a lot of big southwest during the summer. But, we usually find a nice little spot to catch a few fish. You know, you can't always get to where the big bites are, but you can always go scratch up a load.
Now, when clients come up and fish with you, tell us typically what a typical trip is like, and then what are you offering them with regards to fishing availability? Do they have to bring their gear up there? How about getting on with skippers and boats and everything like that? I mean, give us a little outline of you know, people that haven't been up there that might want to come up there for the first time, what they can kind of expect, because in my mind's eye, you offer a turnkey operation.
Yeah, it's 3-day, 4-night packages. So, you know, you're fishing 3 days, and that's usually enough for most anglers. They're usually beat after 3 days because we put in a good, you know, 10, 11, 12-hour day out there on the water, put in a full day. And, you know, we got all the tackle, everything you want. We're running a lot of Abbott reels and a lot of good quality tackle and stuff. And everything's pretty turnkey. You really don't need to bring a lot other than sunglasses and a camera. I mean, we even have rain gear, deck boots, all that stuff. We pack lunches on the boat. You do breakfast, dinner at the lodge. So it's pretty nice. The people have been coming up and have been with us for a long time. We have a pretty good following.
Tell us a little bit about accommodations of the lodge, because what you're offering there is, it isn't a pup tent set out on a beach somewhere. You have gone to extreme lengths to make Sure Strike Lodge really the gem of that part of the country.
Yeah, it's a nice home-style lodge. We're right on the water. You know, you're a couple-minute walk from the dock. You're looking right over the water here. It's real homey. Everybody dines together, but it's big enough where everybody could just disappear. You could have 20 guests at the lodge, and you wouldn't see anybody sometimes. They're just so scattered out. It might be guys playing pool down below. Could be guys out burning the fire out in the yard, enjoying the sunset.
You know, I like fishing with you because you're sort of like cut from the same jib as the Taft family down here with Chuck Taft and Bobby Taft and now Steve Taft. I mean, you'll go to no end to catch fish. I remember one year we came up there and you said, "Hey, John, why don't we go check out some places I normally don't go? You know, I want to see if there's fish out there." And I said, "Yeah, sure, let's go. I know I'm more interested in the experience than catching fish, even though catching fish is nice." And I think at the end of the night, you pulled up to the fuel dock and you'd burned like 120 gallons of gas in one day. But man, did we ever rope the fish that day?
Yeah, I think we cover more area than anybody around here. My fuel bill is legendary.
I tell you, they do applaud you when you come up to the fuel dock over there. But, you know, the boat that you're fishing off, tell us about the vessels that you have, and then tell us about the flagship of the fleet, the Enterprise.
Most of the boats are like 27, 28-foot Almars that would now be a North River that we're running, and they're really nice, comfortable boats built for fishing four people, and they're really comfortable. Got a big back deck, get comfortable air ride seats, and really state-of-the-art electronics and stuff, and they're fast, so we get to places pretty quick. I mean, we cruise 26, 28 knots everywhere we're going, so we cover a lot of ground. The Enterprise is a catamaran built by Armstrong Marine, and she's a gem. I got her just because I wanted something just a little bit bigger, a little different, and it's been great. It's an awesome boat.
And just to show you that one kind of puts around too. Last time I was on there, I think you had twin 200 Yamahas on there. Have you upgraded since the last time I was up there?
300 Yamahas twins. Yeah, I just put a new power package on there, a new set of 300s on there in the spring. And she cruises at 26 knots, 27 knots. She hums right along, gets right out to the Albacore grounds, no problem.
The Albacore grounds. And now Craig, Alaska is going to be known for the Albacore grounds. Whatever got into you, because it looked like you took paying customers out there, unless you went out with friends, did you just say, hey, guys, we have the opportunity maybe to do something unique. I've gotten word that there might be some albacore out there. You want to try and get them? Is that kind of how it went?
Yeah, I just took out local friends here in town.
Okay.
You know, some of the guests wanted to go that first day. I go, you guys can catch tuna in Southern Cal. You guys came up here to catch salmon and halibut. You guys better go do that. And, you know, we didn't know if we were going to hit them or not. I go, this is an exploratory trip. We heard there was some out there, and we're going to go check it out. And we went out there and just hit fish instantly, and we were just picking at them all day. And it was interesting because I was talking to the commercial boat who had found them out there, and he had like 80 fish on board, and he was just dragging hand lines. But he had seen bluefin the night before jumping in front of his boat right at sunset. He didn't know what to think of them. He said they were gigantic. He said they were just catching air right next to his boat. He didn't know what the heck they were.
Well, you know, with Hurricane Kay that we had coming through here just the past couple of days, in fact, we still have the remnants of it. Wendy is on her way up from the Coachella Valley area there, and she's into rain right now. But I've got a feeling you're going to be seeing yellowtail and Dorado up there again.
Well, it'd be nice if that warm water sticks around. We're going to go out on Tuesday. That looks like our last weather window to get out there and play around. It's been real dicey on the weather. I mean, you got to wait 3, 4, 5 days. Sometimes almost a week before you can get out there. Otherwise, it's been a lot of northwest, so it'd be pretty choppy out there. So it's been tough getting the right weather. But we've come out. We did three trips, and we hit the weather perfect every time. We see a lot of puddlers out there sometimes and some jumpers. And the sign was good. Blue whales, albatross, all kinds of cool stuff out there.
Well, you know, Captain Kirk, even though your season for your guests normally ends the end of August, the beginning of September, that doesn't necessarily mean there's not fish out there. It's just the fact that a lot of times the weather starts deteriorating and you can't guarantee any good weather for any length of time. But occasionally it sounds like you do get a pocket of good weather that you can kind of sneak out in for the day and still experience some good fishing.
It's a year-round fishery up here. Really is. I mean, the silvers will kind of fizzle out here real soon. They'll start hitting the rivers. But then you go right back into winter king fishing. The kings will show up, and then bottom fishing's year-round. I mean, you can always go catch bottom fish. So it's a year-round fishery up here. You never know when the weather's going to get nice or bad. It just kind of comes and goes. It's a rainforest, so you get all kinds of different conditions up here. But I've been out there in January and wide-open fishing. Been crazy. February, March. I mean, you never know when it's going to happen out here.
Wow. Well, you know, one thing I know is with your experience at Sure Strike Lodge, when you leave there, you're just not leaving with whole big chunks of fish. You go to great extent to make sure that everything is portioned right and is sealed and frozen so that your guests leave with the best quality product possible.
We try, for sure, because that's the last thing they remember from a trip is when they open that box and look at their fish. So you want it to be good. So we always buy 5-mil bags and everything's frozen properly and stored in our wax boxes and then just pack it home as luggage and get very few complaints, actually, so which is good. Every once in a while, something might get misplaced on the airline or something, but for the most part, everybody gets their stuff home just fine.
Well, as they say, you offer a turnkey operation. All you have to do is get to the airport, and you've got people there to pick you up, to greet you at the lodge, to show you into your rooms. Normally, people are there at a late enough time in the afternoon where they can prepare for the next day's trip, have a great meal, see a fantastic sunset right over the water where the lodge looks at. And then get up the next morning, you're greeted with a great breakfast, lunch is packed on the boat for you, and you away you go. And, man, it is gentleman's fishing for sure.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, everybody has a good time. Yeah, I'm always excited to get going on there every year. And, yeah, I feel like I could still do some more trips this year, but we are closed down. So I get to spend that extra energy on albacore this year, so which is great.
That's all right. You know, we had a lot of trouble this year getting supplies and in the past years. And one of the things that the processors here have run out of are the wax boxes. And I've got to say, I've seen a lot of wax boxes coming back on Alaska Airlines from Short Strike Lodge. So I've got to compliment you on you going out and scouring the country to make sure that you've got the materials your guests need in order for a great fishing experience.
I got lucky. I put my order in really early last year. So I was right there before there was a shortage. I didn't even know there was a shortage coming. Nobody knew. And the guys who waited, they were the guys who suffered. But, yeah, we had no problem getting our boxes for the summer. Bags, anything. I mean, the hardest thing to get is outboard motors. That's been the tough one.
Huh. Guys, are the same thing is happening over here. They order the boat, but the motor, 6 months, 8 months away.
Yeah, it took me over a year to get my last set of outboards for one of my boats.
Right. You know,
the ones I put on the cat, I bought those over a year before. I just had them sitting in crates for when I was going to need them. Wow. So, yeah, you got to really plan ahead right now.
Well, Captain Kirk, we're going to let you get back to the family and everything like that, but we've got, obviously, the 2023 season. How's that looking? How's availability there at the lodge? If people want to find out more about Short Strike Lodge, how to go about getting on up there and making reservations to do so, how's the best way to go about doing that?
Oh, you could check out our website at surestrikelodge.net, or you could send me an email at surestrikecharters@aptalaska.net. Or you could just give us a call, 907-826-3909, and we'd be happy to talk to you anytime. If you're just starting the booking process for next year, so we'll be calling up all our returning groups and booking people up, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of space available for new people.
I know it's tough because you get such a return rate of customers on up there that there's a lot of time there's not room for new guests up there. As you say,
you turned away a lot of people for this season, and they were all returning people who had been here before, and it was tough. We just get everybody in the best we can, try to accommodate everybody. It was a busy summer.
Right. Also, if you go to Rod and Reel Radio on rodandreelradio.com, we have a direct link for Sure Strike Lodge that you can just go right on up there. Captain Kirk, I'm going to let you go, but thanks a lot for telling us about Short Strike Lodge and the unique run of albacore that you had out there. And who knows, we might be talking to you yet about Dorado and Wahoo here in the next couple of weeks.
It's possible. You never know. The water's still warm out there. It's still looking like 61-degree water.
All right. Captain Kirk, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us, and we appreciate it, and I look forward, if I don't see you on your trip down here in the next few weeks or so, seeing you next season.
All right, John, thanks for having me on.
All right. Captain Kirk from Sure Strike Lodge out of Craig, Alaska. Hey, we're going to take a break right now, bring Wendy on, and we got Rob Tressler here. We're going to talk about the fantastic season that we're having here in Southern California when it comes to tuna. There are still boats going after them. Stan's going after them right now. Rob's got a little insight on maybe where he's going to be going to get those big fish. So stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages.
Hi, this is Jim Tralikas. Whether you're an avid angler or custom rod builder like me, you need to team up with the leading innovator in rod building related products, Batson Enterprises. From rain shadow rod blanks, engineered by anglers for anglers, to quality rod components supplied by Alps and Forecast, Batson Enterprises will enhance the quality of your fishing and rod building experience. Batson Enterprises for many years has excelled in incorporating rod building technologies and techniques into every product sold. Owner Bill Batson has assembled one of the finest group of in-house professionals to assist you with your every rod building question or need. So take it from me, Jim Tralikas. When my customer's expectation is for me to build them the finest fishing rod their money can buy, I turn to Batson Enterprises for the best rod components my money can buy.
Hi, this is John, and I'd like to invite you to the new Angler's Arsenal location in Lakeside, California. We've put together a staff of experts that'll help you find the tackle and gear you need at a price you can afford. We carry all major brands, and if you need custom work done, we can do that for you with both rods and reels. How about servicing your old equipment? No problem. We can do it quickly, easily, at a price you can afford. We also do custom hand-poured plastics through Western Plastics. Design the lure of your dreams and catch the fish that have been getting away. So come and visit us in Lakeside. We're at 12255 Woodside Avenue. Or you can visit us at anglersarsenal.com. If you need to call us, we're at 619-466-8355. See you there.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
There's nothing more peaceful than fishing. Just me, my pole, and some bait. Oh, and my life jacket, of course. I like fish, but I don't want to end up at the bottom of the water with them. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Are you looking for a quality fishing experience out of Cabo San Lucas for you, your family, and friends, but are a little set back with what charter company to choose? We urge you to use American and family-owned Lands End Charters. Lands End Charters offers their passengers affordable and all-inclusive services on a variety of vessels and trips. Fish with the latest of fishing gear while experiencing the hospitality of a long-time-owned family business. Go to lensandcharters.com to see all of their vessels and amenities available. Call Cobble, Greg, or Jenny at 800-281-5778 when you're ready for an action-packed Cabo fishing experience.
Hey, everybody. This is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fishing Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419, or their website of cedrosoutdooradventures.com.
Rod and Reel Radio is brought to you by BajaBound.com Insurance Services. Are you driving to Mexico? You can buy and print out your Mexican auto insurance policy online in the convenience of your own home or office in minutes now with BajaBound.com's easy-to-use website. After printing your auto insurance, check out the BajaBound.com site. There, too, you will find great travel tips and information to help you get the most out of your next road trip south of the border. So this is an important fact to remember. Use BajaBound.com. It's the easiest way to find and get Mexican auto insurance.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
Rod and Reel Radio is now available as a podcast you can subscribe to on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcasting app. Get notified as soon as new episodes are available, or go back and listen to our past shows. Browse through all of our archive shows at rodandreelradio.com/archives and click the subscribe button to get started listening now.
Hey, Wendy and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Stan Vandenberg is with Captain Bobby Taft on the Top Gun 80, heading on out to the fishing grounds. And from what I can tell, they are going out for the big boys. They're gonna roll the dice, and they're going after the big tuna. Right, Rob?
Absolutely. Based on the AIS location they're at, they're motoring into the east side of San Clemente, but headed towards the west end. And there's a big body of tuna all across there. It's two different. When we were there last weekend, there were just two basic classes, big and extra big, when we were out there. Our first stop that first night when we got up there, well, not the first night, the second night when we actually got up to that part of it, was interesting in that we went to the same area that Lori and I had been there on the Pescador out of Redondo Beach on 2 weeks before that. And it was just east of the Mackerel Bank, between Mackerel Bank and Catalina. And we were marking fish from like 180 to 350, 400 feet. And they were all that 100 to 160 pound class fish. So we had fun on that the first night. But the next day we knew that there was some bigger stuff, but it was further west, more towards Osborne at 7-Eleven and the Snail. So we started motoring around there in the daytime. We saw signs of the giants west of San Clemente, actually off Little Fallujah and then points west of that. And it was a fun bite.
Well, I know we'll get a report from Stan next week, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Yeah. But I want to bring on Wendy right now. And Wendy, if you will, and we talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago. It seems like forever since we've been together. But Rob was asking me about the all-ladies trip that you took aboard the Searcher, if it turned out to be a successful trip or not. And I know we talked a little bit about that, but could you tell us a little bit about how your trip went?
I sure can. You know, both trips, we had back-to-back 3 days. The first trip was the alumni. This was our seventh year together, and what a hoot, what a blast. You know, with any trip that you go on every year, it's a lot of catching up to do. You become friends. And the ladies, you know, last year they caught up to 80-pound fish, and so I asked Captain Mike if we could go look for the big bluefin. And the girls are up to it, and they want to go do it, and so we did. And it was a blast. Sophie got a 181. A lot of ladies got their personal bests. We went to the West End of Catalina and just had a fantastic time. Not only that, you know, the fishing was great, but the camaraderie and the singing.
Wait a minute.
We had a karaoke machine.
Oh, my God.
We just had a blast. It was great. And, you know, while we were on the boat, we were discussing different techniques and showing how to, reminding people how to tie knots. But we also did a little crimping session, and we did, like, an assembly line. So we taught the ladies how to crimp. And then one of the ladies on the boat, Jeanette, she was great. She won Sportsman of the Year for that trip. She helped out other passengers. She just went way out of her way to help others. And she knows how to solder. So we are actually going to do a soldering class with the ladies up in Cyprus at our RV storage lot.
When you get done, have them come down. I need new rings put on my surface iron.
That's what we're doing. We're going to put new rings on our surface irons. We're going to, teach the ladies how to rig for Wahoo and how to put skirts back on, replace the skirts on your Wahoo bombs. So we're starting like little classes with that first group. Now the second group, that trip was 11 of the ladies. We just, they just love the trip so much. 11 of the ladies from the first trip came on the second trip. But it was neat because those ladies, the alumni who went on the second trip, brought gift cards, brought all kinds of stuff, and donated other, like, fishing rods and stuff that they hadn't used to give away to the newbies. So, I mean, the camaraderie is amazing. The ladies, they learned a lot, and they caught on super fast, and it was amazing. Because the ladies listened to what the crew and the captain says, we hardly had any tangles. But we did have an extremely large tangle, the worst one I've ever seen. But that was due to me. and another passenger, I hooked up in the stern. We were kind of sliding a little bit. We had just marked fish. We're sliding a little bit. I dropped down at the stern. Another lady dropped down at the bow. And then people started going in between. Well, I got bit. My fish went port side. And the lady on the port side, her fish went to the stern. And we got everybody in between.
Oh.
It happens. It just sometimes you can't help it.
It was the biggest hammock I've ever seen. It was amazing. But otherwise, I mean, fishing was great. Yellowfin that are biting at night, on flatfalls, 50-pound test on small flatfalls before it got dark. Then after it got dark, then we were fishing the knife jigs and the rip rollers and anything 300 to 400 grams.
Is that what you got your bigger fish on, Wendy? The night bite?
Yes.
Nice.
And they were biting. It was one night, there were only 9 of us up. All 9 of us were bit. And the guy was trying to wake up the newbies, and they wouldn't wake up. So we had the whole 9 of us, the whole boat to ourselves. It was awesome.
You know, some people just don't realize that when you go out on a day and a half trip, you can spend 18, 20 hours almost solid being up if you want and a fish. And Rob, I know you've done that quite often, so has Lori.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. No, sleep deprivation is the name of the game at times because you never know, like you say, Wendy, when you're going to run up on a school of stuff. And I get asked, well, how is it you manage to catch so many fish? And I don't think per hour of effort that I catch more than anybody else at all. I think I'm probably,
time at the rail.
Average. It's just, spend your time at the rail and don't give up. That's tenacity. I mean, I'm kind of surprised, though, that you didn't allow Merritt to pinhead with you on these two trips. What's up with that?
Oh, he's got to watch the dogs.
Okay. There you go. Take care of the house, sweetie. I love you. I'm going to go fish. Bye.
But Merritt is running. He's Ryan Stahl's relief captain for the Game Changer.
Right. Yeah, I know that. Yeah,
he's been doing that.
Yeah.
But it was so fun, and it was so neat to see the big yellowfin biting at night. And I've been in this industry for over 22 years, and I don't ever recall a night bite for yellowfin.
We ran into that too on the last two trips I've been on, where we caught yellowfin at night, and I mean at 300 feet. How weird is that?
Yeah, that's what we were doing.
Yeah,
and were they better quality?
They were 40 to 50. Yeah, they were 40 to 50 pound fish.
Well, that's good quality compared to what you're catching during the day.
Yeah, yeah, they were nice fish.
80 pounds.
Oh wow, we didn't get anything that big.
80 pounds, and it was just amazing to see that. And I mean, we had some bluefin mixed in with that, but it was amazing. And you're right. You know, we got 2 hours of sleep a night. Captain Mike, I finally, on the second night, went up to the wheelhouse and said, Mike, you've been getting 2 hours of sleep every night. I know how much because I've been up as long as you've been up. I go, if you're tired and you want to go to sleep, we will stop. But as long as you keep looking for fish, we're staying up. So it's up to you.
That's what you got to do. Yeah, it's tough. It's
great enthusiasm. Hey guys, let's break. We got a break right now. You've been listening to Wendy Toshar, and we got Rob Tressler here. We're talking tuna. We're going to go into some techniques and maybe something that might help you out on your next tuna trip. So stay tuned. There's another hour of Rod Reel Radio coming on up. But first, these messages.
Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one fishing, hunting, and shooting sports retailer, now has 28 locations. Turner's is your one-stop shop for fishing tackle, hunting gear, and everything for shooting sports. Turner's offers a full selection and unmatched prices on the gear you need. Whether you're planning a fishing trip with the family or chasing giant tuna, Turner's highly skilled staff will make sure you have the gear for your next adventure. Visit Turners.com to find a Turner's store near you, and be sure to join the Turner's Discount Club to get weekly ads and specials right to your inbox. Turner's Outdoorsman, your one-stop shop for all your fishing needs.
Since being established in 2015, CCA has achieved great success for the entire sport fishing industry in the fight for our right to fish here in California. 2021 brought us plenty of success, but every year brings new battles, and we need your help. One of the best ways to help support CCA Cal is to join us and become a member, because strength is certainly in our numbers. Become a member today by logging on to joincca.org. Membership starts at $35 per year, and that is one of the best ways to help us while you go fishing.
Hi, Roland Martin here. I'd like to tell you a little about Gary Yamamoto and the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company. It all started with an idea, then a dream, and in 1983, the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company was formed. If you know Gary Yamamoto like I do, and I've known him since 1983, you know he has a passionate love for the sport of fishing. That love is only matched by his obsession to design and produce the highest quality soft-plastic fishing lures on the market today. Every bait Gary makes is inspected by hand. Today, more than 2.5 million packages of bait are shipped worldwide. On behalf of Gary and his staff, he wants to thank his customers for thinking so highly of his products and wishing you the great success at the sport of fishing. Whether you fish for fun or fish a tournament circuit like I do, you'll honor Gary for making Gary Yamamoto Custom Baits a key part of your fishing experience. Take it from me, Roland Martin. When I'm in need of a go-to bait, my first choice is a Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait.
Hey, bass fishermen. Who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT, for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the Bass Boat Program that is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right, you only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASS-BOAT. Call 1-800-227-BASS-BOAT. 1-800-327-7262 or just spell BassBoat. 1-800-BASS-BOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASS-BOAT, the choice of the pros for Bass Boat Insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASS-BOAT.com.
Hi, this is Lori Heath. You may know me from some of the sports boats out of San Diego. I want to talk to you about something that's really close to my heart, the San Diego Blood Bank. Fishing for a way to make a difference in your community? Consider donating blood or making a financial donation to the San Diego Blood Bank. Your gift will impact medical research, revolutionize how we improve health and treat disease, and most importantly, give the gift of life. But we can't do it without you or without your help. Visit sandiegobloodbank.org to make an appointment or to give a financial donation today. It's the best way to give back. And just to let you know, I'm also a blood donor.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket and make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Wendy Toshihara and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Our special guest this hour is Rob Tressler, and he is extraordinaire, a sort of like an amateur angler that has dedicated himself to going after big tuna. He and his partner, Lori Heath, and I got to say, Rob, you've been fairly successful with that.
Well, as the old saying goes, even a blind hog finds an acorn in the woods every once in a while.
Well, that's true. Well, you found more than your share of acorns out there. I mean, tell us, in your estimation, we just had Kay come through here. And I know we don't have a lot of insight what's happened with these fish, but what do you think is going to be happening with this real push of possibly warm water we've had from Kay? And there's another storm that's down there that's still pushing its way up there even as we speak.
I didn't know about that one. But I think – so the tuna, the bigger grade tuna that we were on last weekend were deep. It was actually surprising. The last night that we got into the giants on the flat falls and the knife jigs, the top of the school was at least 300 to 400 feet deep and then went from there down to 600 to 700 feet on the scope. And when Hunter was marking these fish, he warned everybody, says, every single mark I see is a jumbo. These are all big fish. Only two were hooked on that school. We had to pack up and leave. It was the last evening we were there before we had to steam home. We ran into that giant stuff at night in the evening, and it was right at sunset. And I hooked up, and Eddie Kim, an angler that was on the charter with us, hooked up as well. And he landed his. It was a 210-pound fish. I decided to do my standard farm boy routine and get it to color with four gaffs looking at it. Hunter said, well, it's still hot. Let's let it make a couple more rounds before we hit it. And I said, yeah, I'm good with that. I already had two cows that morning. And sure enough, it yawned at me, and the jig fell out of its mouth, and it swam off. But frankly, well, it was okay. I'd caught three from 130 to a 160 the night before on the flat fall, on the knife jig, I'm sorry. And then that morning, I picked off a 202, and I wound halfway in and then handed off to Eddie a 212 that I'd hooked up as well. One on one just drifting a dead flying fish behind the boat on the surface, no balloon, no kite or anything. And the other one was my standard half-hitched balloon dragging a flyer on the surface off the bow of the boat. And so it was fun. You know, we had a lights out the first night. There's two groups of tuna. Now, this group that's down here is smaller. It's that 40 to 70-pound stuff. And it's due west of the Coronado's about 25 to 40 miles, depending. And it's shallower. It's, 100 to 250 feet. This water movement may have altered them. I haven't heard anything yet about the boats that have gone back out to it, but that was a pretty reliable bite. And the first night we went out there because we could get there quick, and we were picking them off, and it was like that. And that's where we got into the yellowfin, Wendy, was on that bite. We didn't get into them up north, but down here, we got into that fishing the middle of the night, 300 feet, and what the heck colored kind of funny tuna is that? Oh, it's a yellowfin. They were 40 to 60-pound bluefin that we had. That may have been moved around. I don't know what's going to happen to that. But I suspect that big stuff up north, because the depth it's been hanging at night and getting bit at, I don't think it was perturbed by this water movement at all. I think we're going to find out that stuff is – it's kind of locked in. It's moving around in an area that's the westernmost edge of it that people have looked at is the Osborne. The southernmost image is the top of the Tanner. Then from there, draw a line straight over to the west end of San Clemente, wrap around to the Mackerel Bank, and the waters between Catalina and the east side of Mackerel Bank. That whole zone has been holding tuna now for well over a month. And you just got to drive around and find them. And there's two flavors. There's large and there's humongous. And the larger
year,
that 100 to 100.
Go, Wendy. Last year at this time, they actually were at the Tanner Cortez area and sort of the Desperation Reef area. You know, they were spread out all over that area. And that was in October.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Absolutely. We're hoping they'll slide down to the Tanner. We can set the pick and get a limit by 9:30 in the morning like they did last year. That was shooting fish in a barrel. That was fun stuff. And then you could slide out to the west end of the Tanner on the drop-off and fish for the giants in the afternoon. That was kind of almost formulaic for us. I mean, it ended up in 10 cows, for six for me and four for Lori. Or I don't know how many she got. I got six or seven last year. And I was hooking and handing them again like I did this year already. So there's a ton of big fish up there. And we've seen stuff over 300 pounds. I talked to some buddies of mine that are commercials up there. And they're starting to chase the monsters. And they're in the same zone. Terry Clayton and that bunch are all fishing up there. And they've been tearing it up. Josh, one of my friends that's a commercial up there last year, was telling me about last year how it was for them. And they were kind of flying below the radar. I'm sure you know about it, Wendy, because you're commercial as well. But an average day for them was at least 10 cows. That wasn't a good day. That was an average day for the commercials.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I mean, and Josh said, yeah, now basically he doesn't consider them big unless they're over 300.
Mm.
Then it's a big fish. That 250 to 280 stuff is no longer big to them. And last year, he and Terry and the fleet chased fish that they guesstimated at 400 to 500-pound class fish. They never got them, but they tried.
Rob, are they still eating a lot of micro stuff? Because it seemed like there's just been a ton of micro stuff out there. And the fishermen that have been going out there with the larger baits or even the larger artificials haven't been as successful as some of the guys have been sizing down a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. The night bite on that first night, and even the second night, a buddy of mine who'd never caught a triple digit, he caught a 130 to 140-pound class fish, and he caught it on a 200-gram flatfall.
Yeah.
Now, it took him till Sunday to get it down to 350 feet, you know. And I told him, so a lot of people didn't get bit the first couple of stops, so we kind of had a timeout, and I said, look, you know, I was watching. And I said, you're not getting bit because you're not at depth. 80% of the time, the reason people, because I don't care if it's a flat fall, if it's a knife jig, I don't care if it glows or it doesn't glow. 80% of getting bit at depth at night is being in the zone the fish are in. And 80% of the anglers to this day, especially the beginner anglers, and I get it, you think you're deep, but you're scoped out, your line's angled out. And you, well, I let 300 feet of line out, but I say, well, no, remember Pythagorean's theorem. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. And they look at me like I'm from Mars. And then I realize, okay, if it's at a 45-degree angle, you only half the depth you think you're at. So I say, dump your spools. And that's what I was telling people. I said, basically, dump half your spool or more. And then they started getting bit because they were now getting down to 300 and 400 feet. The interesting thing about the bite for us last week that was really cool was most of the time, 80% or 90% of it is bite it on the drop. These guys on the retrieve were choking it. My three fish had 500-gram knife jigs down their gullet. They had them half swallowed, and they hit all three of them hit on the retrieve, and they knocked the socks off. I mean, a lot of guys were getting bit on the retrieve. So these fish were actively feeding at night at depth, What they're eating down there, I don't know. But to your point about the microbait stuff, daytime, those big fish that were up high, they were still eating small stuff. But the big tuna, now we saw flyers jumping around, so they're starting to eat the flyers too. While they're eating that small stuff, if you've got a flying fish out there that's set up properly, they'll eat it. We had two on the boat in less than 2 hours that morning, and then I had to quit fishing for them, or I'd get in trouble.
Now, Rob, and let's talk about, you brought up a bunch of points that I'd like to talk a little bit more about, and that's depth. How do you know what depth you're at? You're saying, okay, yeah, when you're dropping, that bait isn't going straight down. It's going down at an angle, and you think you're at 300 feet, and you could only be at 225. And if you're not listening to what the skipper's saying when he's talking about fish being at 300 feet or four, that could be the top of them. You were telling me that you were going down as far as 700 feet, and you were bringing that bait up through the schools of fish that were down there. And it sounds like you were reeling it up. They were chasing it, and they were coming up on the back of it and just swallowing it much rather than hitting it on the side, which would cause you to get them in the lips.
Absolutely. And I have arthritis in my shoulder from winding on those, just winding from depth. But I finally convinced guys. I said, look, well, maybe it's going to be too deep. I said, if you're too deep, that means you went through the school twice. You went through it, and you came back up through it. So go too deep if you have to think that way and get down there to them. And I said, mark your line. Or if you don't mark your line, there's this new deluxe line out by Iserline that's marked for you. You should look into buying it. And a number of guys had it on the boat, and they're really pleased with it, Wendy. It's working for people. It gives them a lot more confidence. They know they're at depth. The other piece is vertical. Yeah, you can catch them scoped out. You know, you can win the lottery if you play it enough. And you can certainly catch bluefin tuna with your line scoped out at an angle. But those jigs are designed to fish vertically. They're not designed to retrieve like a surface iron, you know, diagonally through the water column. It does work at times. I'm not going to say it never works. But vertical, when the fish are coming, and the captains are monitoring stuff coming under the boat. So when they say they're under the boat at 300 feet, that means they're under the boat. That doesn't mean they're out 45 degrees off to the side. There may be fish out there, but what he's seeing on the scope is underneath the boat. And that vertical presentation works. The other thing is crowd factor. I love it if everybody on the boat is participating. I've seen this on the Aztec last year. Jason took me up to the top. He said, watch this. He said, stop fishing, Rob. I want you to come up here. And I was like, no, they're biting. He said, no, get up here. I'm going to show you this. And on the up and down, we could see the jigs dropping through the water. And the school was tight at 250 feet. As the jigs got close, the school started fluffing up. And you could see lines of tuna coming up to investigate that school, quote unquote, of jigs coming down. We think that when a group of people drops, if they've got their act together and don't tangle up, it's like a school of squid or something that tuna like to eat. And tuna being what they are, they're going to check it out, and you can get them to go. And what was funny to watch was guys that didn't drop quite deep enough, tuna would come up, and I watched one guy wind up 100 feet, and that tuna must have been 12 inches behind the jig the whole way and then rolled off and never bit it. The angler never knew what was happening. So drop deep.
You know what?
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, okay. You know, one of the things too is, you know, like you said, it is vertical. What a lot of people can do is they can cast up current and just take a little toss and cast up current, and by the time it reaches straight in front of you, you're up and down.
Yeah, I do that a lot. Absolutely. I call it pendulum, the thing, you know, throw it downwind because the boat's going to drift across it, and pendulum them down deep. And also what I'll do is if I know they're underneath me, sometimes I'll just randomly on the way down or on the way up, I'll stop for a second and start winding again. And guess what? I get pleasantly surprised far more frequently than you would think for being random. It's just that change in pace, especially when I saw on the scope last year, when I saw these tuna butt sniffing the jig but not eating, and I said, what if you change something about the motion of the jig? And I've been doing that now, and I've got over 80 bluefin this year, so something's working.
Rob talked about a product that Iserline has to help you figure out the depth. You want to go into a little more detail about what Rob's talking about?
I sure can. Well, you know, I got tired of watching all the people at the tackle stores barking everybody's line. I get, you know, and then, or you had another brand that had only 25 meters or 25 yards of different color line. I thought, well, gosh, we need to come out. Somebody needs to come out one that's 100 feet. The captain always says, I'm metering fish at 250 feet. I'm metering fish at 300 feet. Why not have it in 100 foot length? So we came out with multicolored spectra. We call it MC Spectra. And there's five colors, and every color is 100 foot long.
Perfect.
Wow. Now, Rob.
And you know, when I got to fish it for the first time in July, and I didn't realize that I was way past the fish, and 100 feet or 200 feet is not that far.
No. It's not.
Not when you're dropping a 500-gram night
right.
jig or flatfall. That gets you down there right now, which is what you want to do. But at the same time, you don't want to blow past them.
Yep. Yep. I mean, we did get a bit better at times on the lighter, the 300 grams. Knife jigs and flatfalls for that, especially for the smaller grade fish. For the monsters, it's just you got to get down there. You know, when they're at 400 feet, a 500 gram, just get there, you know, a couple of simple rules for jig fishing at night for bluefin. Get as many of your friends to drop vertically as they possibly can by pendulum out the cast. Like you said, Wendy, one, have them have their line marked somehow or other, use the Iser product if they can get it, get vertical on it and, drop together. I it seems like it activates the school. And, the other thing we had was you had a lot of guys pulling fish. They'd hook them, they'd fight them for like a few minutes, and then they'd pull off. And I started checking my buddy. He lost three in a row, and I checked. He had a 100-pound setup. He had a 400-gram knife jig, you know, and he's doing everything right. He had two 5-aught Mustad Assist hooks on the bottom. They're big, beefy hooks with a big barb. And he had his drag set at about 13 pounds. Okay, so that's a problem. You cannot get past the barb on those heavy hooks with light drag. You've got to have a pretty stout drag such that when that fish hits and starts pulling drag, you got to have enough drag to bury that hook. I run on my 100-pound setup. Listen to this, Wendy. I run 40 pounds of drag.
Mm.
Okay.
I have a question for you, Rob.
Yep.
Have you noticed on the knife jigs using less hooks are more attractive, you get bit more instead of putting like two hooks on top and two hooks on the bottom, putting, you know, maybe two hooks on top and one on the bottom works better?
I'm doing, absolutely. I'm using two on the bottom and one smaller one on the top. That's it now. And okay. the one on the top may, I think it doesn't matter either way, but the chandeliers we used to use with 5 and 6 hooks are gone. I don't think you need that.
Yep.
I think less hooks, you know, and plays better to the jig itself. Two on the bottom primarily for me and a monster drag set so I can get into them so they don't pull off on my big stuff. Like when I'm, you know, drifting a flyer on a backpack or I'm drifting a flyer under a balloon, I'm running the 135 pound Iser line and I've got 60 pounds of drag at full. I'm not messing
wow.
around. Well, that 201 came in 15 minutes. The 212 came in 20 minutes. Last year, six of the cows I caught came in and they all came in under 30 minutes, and one was over 25 minutes. The rest were 20 to 25 minutes apiece.
Catapulted.
Well, I'm using, yeah, exactly. Well, there is that, you know, there is that. But I hook and handed a 231 to a 15-year-old kid who's soaking wet, weighed 120 pounds. Now, I had him by the belt on the seat of his pants last year, but I'm also running a circle hook, a 19-aught circle hook. I'm not running the trap rig. And I'm batting 1,000. I've hooked two this year, put them both on the boat.
You're also not using a 30 size reel.
I'm using the 80 Avid 3-speed tractor puller. It was Hunter was standing next to me on this last, the 201. He says, it looks like you're winding in a rock cod. I said, it's the setup. It's not me because I'm old and I'm out of shape. If you fish the right gear, big fish are much more manageable. That's the other thing is guys will buy a nice reel but then they'll come in with a rod that they're undergunned on that doesn't have the strength or the backbone, and that's a problem as well. And for smaller, lighter people such as yourself, a longer butt gives you better leverage so you don't get catapulted. It allows you to fight the fish in a more efficient manner with less effort and less aggravation. There's a video of me. You'll see me. I'm sitting on the end of the seesaw and not breaking a sweat, winding on that 201 that we put on the boat last Sunday.
So it really makes a difference if you're going out and looking for a rod. Try and find something that has a little bit longer butt if you're going out going after these big fish, because not all rods obviously are built like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the short butt looks cool, and I get it. The short butt is a lot easier on you if you're going to put it into a fighting belt. You know, it's just, if you're using a belt, it's something to, you know, keep in mind, be mindful of. But if you're going to be a true rail rodder like me who doesn't use a fighting belt, that longer butt gives me more leverage on those big fish. I just get out on the end of it like a seesaw, back up and slide backwards the foregrip too. So I've effectively turned an 8.5 foot rod now into a 6 foot rod from a leverage advantage standpoint. So I can really put it to them with going to low gear with 60 pounds of drag. And then if he starts to run, I just walk back out, get more extension. Or if I need to get around the capstan or I need to get around another angler, I've got that extra length to use that for. But, you know, when he's up and down, you know, at 200 feet and you're just trying to corkscrew him up, you know, then you can really put the wood to him.
You know, it seemed like for us guys that have been fishing for a long time, using the rail was a no-no. You know, either they didn't want you fishing the rail, or, you know, it was a sign that you were weak or whatever it is.
I am weak. I admit it.
But now it can be a useful tool.
Oh, yeah. No, it's so my buddy, his first tuna he ever caught was on this trip, and it was 40 pounds. And I didn't say a word. I let him fight it his way. He was totally gassed. Now, this guy's 6 foot tall, 220 pounds, and he's 39. He's in good shape. And he said, I got the daylight speed out of me. He says, how in God's name am I going to land a 100-pounder? I said, do this instead. And he got down. He used the rail. He didn't use the rail. He walked around holding the rod on the wrong side, winding and muscling that 40-pound bluefin, and it just beat the daylights out of him. And then he hooked a 130, and he killed it in half the time. The 40-pounder took him 45 minutes. I laughed. I was terrible. I was saying, you know what? I've explained it to him. He's not listening to me. Let him get his daylights beat in, and then he'll come to me and say, what am I doing wrong? And we fixed it, and 130 came on board in like 15 minutes. He says, wow, that made a difference using the rail and the leverages and the corners, you know, finding the angles that you can use. I mean, I've seen guys that are 75 years old wax like someone sitting here in the studio with me, you know, wax 100-pound plus tuna without batting an eye. And then I've seen young guys trying to muscle, you know, 60-pounders and just get the daylights beat out of them. But I look at the way they're fighting them and say, if I had to fight a tuna that way, I'd give up, you know. You know that, Wendy. I mean, it's use what they give you on the boat from a fulcrum standpoint.
Yeah, you know, I mean, for me, that's all I do, and it's perfect for me because the rail is my size. So I just
put actually got an advantage. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I put all my weight on it and just use that, and that's my fulcrum, and I just lean into it and then reel down.
Yeah, me too. See, unfortunately, I'm not short enough, so you have a real advantage. This is the one irony of rail rod fishing: is short actually has an advantage over a long, tall guy. So, and I'm not that tall, but I'm kneeled down. I have to kneel down to get the right leverage and fulcrum at times. On really big fish, I kneel down. That way I can use that rail most effectively. And that's what I had Nick doing. I said, kneel down. And he kneeled down and he said, oh, wow, this just got easy. I said, yep. Now push your easy button, put it in low gear. And he sucked that 130 to the boat and nothing flat.
Hey, you are listening to Tuna Talk here on Rod and Reel Radio with Rob Tressler and Wendy Toshihara. And every once in a while, I'll cough and ask a question and seem to just kind of point the people in the right direction. We're going to take a little commercial break right now. So stay tuned, because I'm going to kind of get specific here with Rob and maybe ask some of the questions that you might be thinking about out there and you want to know. And One thing I know about Rob, he doesn't necessarily give up a lot of information voluntarily, but if you ask him the question, he's always there and answers it fully. So stay tuned. We'll be back with Wendy Toshihara and Rob Trusser, and we're talking about catching big tuna. So stay tuned.
Hi, this is Jim Trelekas. Whether you're an avid angler or custom rod builder like me, you need to team up with the leading innovator in rod building related products, Batson Enterprises. From rain shadow rod blanks, engineered by anglers for anglers, to quality rod components supplied by Alps and Forecast, Batson Enterprises will enhance the quality of your fishing and rod building experience. Batson Enterprises for many years has excelled in incorporating rod building technologies and techniques into every product sold. Owner Bill Batson has assembled one of the finest group of in-house professionals to assist you with your every rod building question or need. So take it from me, Jim Trelekas. When my customer's expectation is for me to build them the finest fishing rod their money can buy, I turn to Batson Enterprises for the best rod components my money can buy.
Hi, this is John, and I'd like to invite you to the new Angler's Arsenal location in Lakeside, California. We've put together a staff of experts that'll help you find the tackle and gear you need at a price you can afford. We carry all major brands, and if you need custom work done, we can do that for you with both rods and reels. How about servicing your old equipment? No problem. We can do it quickly, easily, at a price you can afford. We also do custom hand-poured plastics through Western Plastics. Design the lure of your dreams and catch the fish that have been getting away. So come and visit us in Lakeside. We're at 12255 Woodside Avenue. Or you can visit us at anglersarsenal.com. If you need to call us, we're at 619-466-8355. See you there.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Are you looking for a quality fishing experience out of Cabo San Lucas for you, your family, and friends, but are a little set back with what charter company to choose? We urge you to use American and family-owned Lands End Charters. Lands End Charters offers their passengers affordable and all-inclusive services on a variety of vessels and trips. Fish with the latest of fishing gear while experiencing the hospitality of a long-time-owned family business. Go to lensandcharters.com to see all of their vessels and amenities available. Call Cobble, Greg, or Jenny at 800-281-5778 when you're ready for an action-packed Cabo fishing experience.
Hey, everybody. This is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fish at Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419. Or their website of CedrosOutdoorAdventures.com.
Rod and Reel Radio is brought to you by BajaBound.com Insurance Services. Are you driving to Mexico? You can buy and print out your Mexican auto insurance policy online in the convenience of your own home or office in minutes now with BajaBound.com's easy-to-use website. After printing your auto insurance, check out the BajaBound.com site. There, too, you will find great travel tips and information to help you get the most out of your next road trip south of the border.
So this is an important fact to remember. Use BajaBound.com. It's the easiest way to find and get Mexican auto insurance.
I got it.
Well, welcome back to Raw and Real Radio, everyone. Wendy Toshahar is here with me tonight. Stan Vandenberg is out on the Top Gun 80, and I think they're in the hunt for big fish in the direction it looks like they're going with. And we've got Rob Tressler with us. Rob, thanks a lot for sharing some of the information with us.
My pleasure.
Hey, a couple of questions I want to ask you. You're kind of looking for big fish when you go out on these trips now. I mean, yeah, catching 70-pound fish are fun for guys like me, but you've caught your share of those. You want to crack at a big fish. You think the big fish are out there. So tell me, when it comes to your rod and reel, are you always starting out big in anticipation of maybe being the first one down on the drop and getting that big fish that might be leading the pack?
Yeah, I think it works. I think tuna are funny fish, is that if you can be at the lead of a school of jigs going down and you're first down, but they see that herd coming through and you're the first one down, I think I know your odds of being bit are higher, no doubt, you know. And so that's why knife jigs have become so popular, is they get down quicker. That's why they were out fishing the flat falls. The 200 gram flat falls just couldn't keep up with the 350 gram knife jig, and we've all switched over because they sink faster. You know, and now we're up to 500 gram, and now some guys are even fishing. This one gentleman, he had 650 gram knife jigs, and he got bit on them.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. Now, that makes me tired just thinking about winding the thing. But
no, it's a lot of fun when you're going down.
Well, yeah, going down is great. Oh, so another thing, you know, here, I see it, and do what works for you. The number one thing I tell everybody is, do what you have confidence in, fish what you have confidence in. Rule number one for bluefin, especially jig fishing. And jig fishing at night is not random. It's not, well, I'm just going to drop a sinker with a hook that's shiny and hope they bite. Yeah, that works. You'll definitely catch them. But if you're listening to the captain, if you're paying attention to being vertical, you're pendling your cast, like Wendy said, to make sure you're vertical when the boat drifts over in the zone where the fish are, you know, and you're doing all of that, and you've got the right setup, that's important. And as far as, well, Rob, do you wind fast? No, I don't. If the boat is moving up and down from the natural motion of the ocean, you've already got an intrinsic jigging motion down there at 300 feet just from the rocking of the boat. If you put your rod on the rail and there's any swell at all, that jig is accelerating and decelerating. And actually, that differential in speed, and I don't think it's absolute speed. I think it's the change in speed that matters. If you're going very slow and you twitch it fast, they'll eat it. If you're going really fast and you try to twitch it faster, the difference in the speed magnitude effect is far less. But if you're just winding regular and the swell is coming up and down, that jig is doing basically a slow pitch to fast twitch jig motion. And I get bit a lot on the retrieves this season. I've been getting bit a lot on the retrieves just using a steady eddy wind, which I don't do because I think it works better for the fish. It's just, why am I getting bit more on the retrieve than other people? And I think because I did it just because I'm lazy and I say, I'm going to be on this rail for the next 4 hours winding. I can't burn it for 4 hours. I don't have that kind of gas in my tank. So just by winding steady, if the boat's rocking, it's giving that jig a jigging motion on the way up through the water column. So pick a speed and pick a tempo on the drop and the retrieve that you can do for 4 hours. Because what's the number – Wendy and I were talking about this. The number one rule for catching, getting hooked up, is time on rail. If you burn out after a half hour or an hour and a half at 2 o'clock in the morning because you've been burning that jig the whole time and you're exhausted, you're going to miss out. You're going to catch less fish. Find – a rhythm that you can sustain for several hours of up and down fishing, and you'll get bit a lot more. And take advantage of Mother Nature's motion of the ocean, as I call it. Just the rocking of the boat, if you've got the rod on the rail, is going to impart a lot of action to the jig itself on the way down and on the way up, but especially on the way up at a medium retrieve. So I don't think you need to kill yourself on a rocket fast retrieve. I mean, Wendy, do you burn it back up?
No.
Yeah.
I want to, in the beginning, I'll burn it back up just to see. I'll try different retrieves to see what is working in order to figure out, you know, the pattern. But once I figure out the pattern, most of the time it's on the drop.
Yeah, yeah. And I was getting bit on the retrieve, and I was just whining like normal, and they were choking it.
Right. Rob, tell us, you told us that you're fishing with 130-pound, 135. You're getting to like that. You're fishing with a leader, a top shot on that, and what are you using? You're using a mono or a copolymer? Are you using fluorocarbon? What works for you?
I think mono will work, but I'm OCD. Fluorocarbon sinks, mono doesn't, and it's all about getting down there. Now, does, you know, a mono, you know, a 20-foot top shot of mono matter as far as the timing getting in there? Probably not. I also like fluoro because it has a little bit more chafe resistance than mono. I do run from my main Spectra. I run about a 30-foot long top shot of 100-pound. I have 100-pound Spectra, so I'll run a 30-foot top shot of 100-pound fluorocarbon. And to that, I'll tie on my my jig with my, you know, 200-pound or 150-pound leader to the actual jig itself, which is usually about 2 to 2.5, 3 feet long. That's all, you know, and that goes to the jig. That's the heavy. There at night, they don't care. I mean, I've caught 20-pound yellowfin with 200-pound a 200-pound chafe leader at night at 200 feet. They don't care. But I like having that the fluorocarbon top shot, that 20 to 30 feet, when I'm at color and I can pull hard and have like 6 or 7 wraps on the reel, because fluoro is not quite as rigid as Spectra, but it's not as forgiving as mono, but it gives me a little bit of forgiveness and also psychologically says, okay, I'm here. I'm in the home stretch with this monster, you know, just, you know, stay the course. You're going to kill the fish.
A lot of people, you know, we've been talking about the importance of knowing what depth you're at. You got to take into consideration how much leader and everything you have on there too.
Yep, absolutely. Although, you know, if I'm within 20 feet of the depth I need to be at, plus or minus, I don't lose sleep. The main thing for me is I want to make sure I get under the fish, and I want to know that I went through them, you know, and that I'm coming back up through them, you know. And, you know, so things we've done when they're, like, we had zero drift the first night. I mean, literally, you could drop it down and hold it at 250 feet, and it wouldn't move, which was wonderful because I sat there being lazy. He said, I've got them off the bow. They're at 300 feet. All right, they're under the boat at 320 feet. I only had to drop another 50 to 100 feet to get to them because I'd left my jig down there in case something random happened too. You know, what the heck, you know, and drop down into them and boom, bang, bit. Well, now, you can't do that on heavy drifts. You can't do it. But we had no drift. It was like a lake out there. And I said, oh, this is nice. Now I don't have to wind all the way to the surface.
You know, we put a lot of emphasis on fishing jigs and stuff like that. But occasionally you can get a live bait bite out there, and you can fly line and or sinker rig a bait. Let's talk a little bit about that. First of all, fly lining. a lot of talk of going to lighter line, that if you want to get bit, yeah, you can use lighter line, but if you want to bring in the fish, and Rob is sitting there shaking his head, tell me why that philosophy might be wrong.
Well, I know because I used to be a light line fisherman. Let's get a bite. And this year I got schooled really bad. I mean, and I'm a scientist, so I ran the numbers. I said, okay, so I'm getting bit 5 times on 30-pound, and I'm only getting bit 3 times on 60-pound. But I'm not putting any of the 5 bites on 30-pound on the boat, but I'm putting all 3 of the 60-pound bites on the boat. Hello. I think leader is a little overemphasized as leader sensitivity of the bluefin. I think the leader has more to do with the bait. If you've got really weak bait, you're forced to fish lighter leader so you can get some swim. I think fly lining, once again, I think folks think it's a very passive way to fish. It is not. You've got to manage that bait. You've got to know what it's doing. If it stops, there's subtle things you can do to make the thing start to swim again. And if not, you're fired, wind in, start over, right? I'm actively managing my bait the whole time. I know what my bait is or isn't doing the whole time it's in the water. And if I can get it to swim with 60-pound, I'm not going to back in the day, I'd fish 30. But now, and if they're 20-pound bluefin, yeah, I'll fish 30-pound. But that stuff we've got up north, it's mixed. And I had some horror stories this year. You heard about, I thought I was fishing for 50-pound fish with a sinker bait. So I rigged up a 50-pound setup, and it did the stupid thing. We got it on the boat an hour and 15 minutes later. It was a 150-pound bluefin, and it beat the daylights out of me. I never want to do that again as long as I live. And, yeah, I know, sometimes like, I've had friends. I killed one 4 years ago on the Pacifica that was 147 on the scales, gilled and gutted, okay, on 40 pound, and I never want to do that again, you know. Yes, you can do it, but you've got to balance the sweet spot. And if you've got strong bait, if you've got really strong sardines that swim well, or you can find one that swims well, fish the heaviest leader you can get away with that gives you a good swim. You could have 15 pound test, but if it's a lousy bait, it's not going to get bit. It's all about the fact that the thing is hauling butt through the water. And the tuna are like a cat with a yarn ball. You know, if the yarn ball is bouncing around, they're going to come after it. If the yarn ball is just sitting there, even if it's on 15 pound, they're not going to eat it. Okay. I think it's more about the swim. It's kind of like surface iron. It's about the swim with a live bait, just like it is with a surface iron or any other jig you use. You got to give it some action, or you got to find a bait that has that action. And there are things you can do to tweak your bait. Backpedaling is one of them. I tend to notice that guys, when they're first learning to backpedal, they think backpedaling means knock the daylights out of the bait by hitting them real, really hard to backpedal them and jerk them, you know. It's kind of like if you have a puppy dog on a lead, you want it to walk along with you. And if it's going the wrong way and you pull too hard on jerk on the lead too hard, which is backpedaling it, it doesn't move anymore. It sits there and wonders what the heck happened. You can knock those sardines off their keister and they'll just kind of be dazed in the water and they won't swim for a while. You want to just pull enough to make them want to get away. And if you manage your bait like that for fly line, that really helps. And fish as heavy of a piece of line as you can and still get a good swim. Get a good swim. There are a few times when I've said, yes, I do need to drop to 30 pound or 25 pound, you know, and part of it's the bait and part of it is, you know, the sun's high, the line is refracting and maybe the tuna are sensitive, but bluefin, when they decide to eat, usually they're not the sharpest pencils in the box when they decide to get hungry and eat. They're going to chase it down and eat it. I've seen some pretty amazing bites 10 feet from the boat on 80 pound fly lining. And this year I fly lined with 60 and 80 pound. And I still got spooled.
And how are you hooking the bait? I always like butt hooking.
Yep.
There are guys that will nose hook it. You introduced me to shoulder hooking, which is a way that you liked it. Tell me, is there a time? Do you use one all the time? Or are there instances where you will hook it up differently?
Absolutely. So I was, for the first couple of years, I was dogmatic, and I was arrogantly dogmatic by saying shoulder hooking is better than anything else. You guys are wrong for doing anything else but shoulder hooking, because I was catching a lot of fish. Not true. There are times when butt hooking, which makes them swim hard, fast down, is better than shoulder hooking, you know. And if you're on what I call a hard slide, if you're fishing, if all you're fishing is a hard slide, which means you're dropping it in while the boat is still doing 5 knots. You know, and the bite's going to be over within 90 seconds because they're only biting on the slide back by in the chum. They're reacting and then they're gone. Yellowfin are notorious for that, or they have been in the past for us.
Sure.
And bluefin this year. Then nothing wrong with nose hooking because you're going to slow wind it back. Now, shoulder hooking, you can retrieve them, and they run like a Rapala. If you've properly shoulder hooked them, they run nose down and they swim beautifully. And I've been bit on the shoulder hook retrieve a lot too. But there are times when he says they're at 100 feet or 90 feet and they're not boiling at all, butt hook time, and drop it down, get it down there, and get bit.
How about when you're using a sinker rig? Same type of
shoulder hook.
Shoulder hook.
And there it's just a matter of if you notice, if you nose hook a bait, sometimes the hook will fold back over into the sardine. It'll foul back into the sardine. And therefore, you're not going to get a good hook set. With shoulder hook, that doesn't happen. The circle hook stays clear. It can't fold back over on itself, you know, into the side plate of the side cheek of the sardine. You see that happen a lot if they're swimming, and that hook rolls over backwards. Because what happens when you nose hook is, as that sardine swims forward, that hook flips backwards. Sometimes on a circle hook, that barbel didn't catch in the side plate. And then it's fouled. And it's, yeah, you, sometimes, you know, on a really hard hit, it'll rip on through and you'll hook the fish. But a lot of times you'll miss the tuna because the hook was occluded or blocked because it had rolled back into the sardine and gotten fouled on the sardine. Shoulder hooking, that doesn't happen. And shoulder hooking was an accident. Lori was shoulder hooking sardines and dropping them on the sinker bait. And I said, what are you doing? That's stupid. Don't do that. And meanwhile, she killed six of them while I was standing there, you know, cross-eyed. And I said, okay, wait a minute. And I thought about it. I says, oh, it works, and it works very well.
And then J-hooks as opposed to circle hooks.
Circle hooks for bluefin, guys. Don't go J-hooking. You can do it with smaller fish and with yellowfin for sure, and yellowtail, you know, and other pelagics. But for bluefin, especially that bigger grade, if you gut hook them or you hook them in the gullet, they got teeth that will saw through 100-pound stuff. If you hook a big tuna, you're gonna get your heart broken. If you're on them for, you know, an hour and it's sawing back and forth across those teeth, that 100-pound turns into 80. Then in 20 minutes, it's turned into 50. Then in another 20 minutes, it's turned into 20-pound. And then you're at color and you try to lift and it pops. Use a circle hook. I mean, and everybody, all the captains and crew now are telling people, look, if we're on bluefin, please use circle hooks.
And me paying more money for a ring hook, does that help? Does it make me feel better? Is it any difference than tying directly onto the eye of a hook?
Well, if you can tie a loop without the ring, a good strong loop, which I use a modified San Diego Jam loop, and get away from the ring, on smaller baits, it matters. On really big baits at depth, where you're fishing for 100-pound to 200-pound bluefin with a sinker bait rig, the ring's okay there if you've got a big, beefy bait. If you have a small, little bitty bait, try to avoid the ring if you can. You know, I use a San Diego Jam that I don't fully seat, which creates a ring, if you will, or a loop that allows the bait to swim better. And once again, same thing. Although the bait's on a tether on a sinker, it's all about the swim. It's all about the presentation of that wiggly on the end of the line. It matters, you know. You can catch them on dead bait, but everything you can do to make the amount of hardware that sardine has to drag around lighter. And I know to you the ring is tiny, but to a 6-inch sardine, that ring is like a 5-pound bracelet around their neck or through their nose.
Yeah.
So let's swim with a 5-pound bracelet through my nose versus on my back or completely gone.
So then do you gauge the size of the hook based on the bait that you're using or the size of the fish you're after? Or how do you make that relationship?
And that's where you can get, the bait first and foremost. But having said that, you know, if you've got weak bait and you have to do Sophie's Choice, go for the heavier hook, because I straightened out way too many hooks over the years trying to fish a light hook to get a good swim with 60-pound and then hook a 100-pound tuna and have him open the hook up. So, you know, then you get into this thing. You've got to find that sweet spot of what's the heaviest hook I can use, circle hook I can use and get away with without compromising the swim of the bait, but still going to be stout enough to land a 150-pound bluefin. Now, that 150 I killed earlier this year was on a number four mustad. It was opened up. If we hadn't gaffed that fish when we did, it was gone.
All right. Rob Tressler, I can't thank you enough for coming in tonight and sharing some of the information. We're actually lucky because the weather kind of blew you out this weekend. And you are a weekend warrior, too, because you do have a regular job that you go to.
Indeed.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing the information with us. We just scratched the surface. Put some of what Rob told you to work. Think about it. And if you run into Rob or Lori on one of the sports fishing boats here out of San Diego, come up, say hello to him. If you got a question or you want to explain fully, please do that, because I know he's always happy to help you out.
Happy to help, guys.
All right. Hey, Wendy, thanks a lot, too. I know it was an effort for you to be on tonight. I appreciate you adding to the show.
Be safe.
Yeah.
I will, and thanks, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for tonight. Rob Tressler, thank you very much. And Lori, we look forward to going out there and fishing with you, too, because there's a lot you can learn from Lori, especially from the women's side of fishing. So That's it for tonight. Hey, want to thank Israel in the AM 540 studios, Ben Harvey, our local producer, and always in memory of Big Tuna Bill, Eddie McCune, who started this show, and Mr. Paul Leader from El Cajon Ford that kept us on the air. So until then, go out and get on the sports boats right now, because if you don't, you're letting someone else catch your fish, or your fish is getting away. Good night, everyone. We'll see you next Sunday night starting at 5.05 p.m. on Rod and Reel Radio here on AM 540 or at rodandreelradio.com. Till then.
Gone fishing.
I'm real gone, man.
You ain't working anymore.
Could be.
There's your hoe out in the sun where you left a row half done. You claim that hoeing ain't no fun.
But I can prove it.
You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing.